Interlude, Volusia.
The atoll of Koloha, the mouth of an extinct undersea volcano, pushed up out of the water and given new life as an island. This island is a claw-shaped thing, its soil rich and black like powdered soot. The plants that grow up out of its small jungle are twisted together with bright flowers whose petals snap at the air as buzzing insects pass. Beyond the island is a ring of shimmering sediment beneath the sea, an aggregate of crystalline matter that, as it turns out, is actually composed of the fossilized corpses of gelatinous chomal, drifting sea creatures that look like diaphanous blobs of glowing flesh. The local Volusians eat them, Mon Mothma had said, before adding, raw. Leia shudders at that thought. Her time as princess, ambassador, and general has led her through an unholy host of culinary trials and tribulations. Pickled Koodler Roe on Goliath Maul. The texture alone was enough to haunt her. Half-rancid Durang fruit, which tasted not unlike how death smells. Skewered Mandler talk over an open fire. She admits that those little lizards were actually quite good, once you got past how they popped when you bit into them. Curiously, the worst of all remains the protein paste they sometimes had to eat in the early days of the Alliance. Looked and tasted like hullcock. Actually, it might have been hullcock for all she knew. Eating strange things is what you do with galactic citizens that are not you, she reminds herself. It is a welcome honor, if an occasionally uncomfortable one. Thankfully, that will not be her task today. The native Volusians do not occupy the island of Koloha. No one does. She stands on the deck of a floating cruiser, what once was a luxury swift-wing pleasure liner, though it has seen better days. Much of what the New Republic possesses for equipment remains dinged, dented, blast-scarred, or just plain old. That is changing slowly as they ramp up their own political machine and oust the Empire system by system. But for now, this old thing, which transitions well enough from sea to sky to the stars, will have to suffice. As she stands there, a woman in white joins her. With her, that flash of fire-red hair that belies the woman's calm, placating smile. Mon Mothma has that effect. She is serene, even when she is worried, or when she is angry. Mon says,
"You seem uncertain."
"This is all more than a little deranged," Leia says. "What are we doing out here? This surely can't be a real plea."
"Maybe it isn't. It seems earnest enough. And it's not as if we're unprotected."
The Chancellor's eyes drift heavenward. There, beyond the atmosphere, is a fleet of New Republic ships. And ahead of them, on the atoll, their own soldiers. The most elite, the most capable, wait for what may come.
"They've already combed the island. Relax, Leia. We are safe."
"It could be a trap."
"You sound paranoid."
"As I should," Leia says. "Every good thing in this galaxy seems to twist and turn in our grip like a serpent. Just as you think you've got it by the tail, it whips its head around and takes a bite."
"Where's that idealist I met on Alderaan?"
A rare smile tugs at Mon's mouth.
"We don't see enough of each other, Leia. I miss you. How's your husband?"
"He's good,"
Leia lies. She adds another lie to the heap, because once you've set one down as the foundation, why not build a house and live there?
"His mission goes well. He's a changed man."
Mon watches her. Is that suspicion glinting in her eyes, or just more paranoia on Leia's part?
"I gather it must be hard being married through all of this, but I promise that the transition will be over soon enough. And peace and prosperity, and stars help us, a little normalcy, will return soon enough.
Again, her eyes tilt skyward. Leia sees it too. A ship entering atmosphere. A nondescript minecraft. A Kinro 9747. Even from here, Leia can see the plasma scarring and the pockmarks from debris. From behind them, the voice of Staff Sergeant Hearn Kaveen, a bearded Pantoran who works on the protective detail around the Chancellor. Leia has been told she needs a protective detail as well, but she is told then that she will be her own protective detail, thank you very much.
He's here, Chancellor, Kaveen says.
Behind the mining ship fly two flanking Y-wings, weapons ready just in case.
He's alone? Leia asks.
It's just one ship, and only one biosig aboard.
On the atoll, a space has been reserved upon the beach for landing, and the Kinro 9747 hovers over the makeshift pad, its exhaust blowing a hissing wave of sand into the sea before finally settling down. A passel of New Republic soldiers, their weapons raised, surround the ship. As soon as the landing ramp descends, the soldiers storm inside. Despite the warm, balmy sea air, Leia suddenly feels cold. She knows what could come next. The ship suddenly detonating, killing those men. Or maybe it would be filled with something worse. A biological agent. A chemical weapon. Some starving creature, like a cybernetically enhanced rancor monster. At this point, nothing would shock her short of the black, gleaming visage of Vader himself stepping off that ship and into the sand. But then, Kaveen confers with the soldiers on the comm. He relays their response.
Chancellor, they've given the all clear.
Mon nods. And that's all it takes. The soldiers escort the pilot of the mining ship off and onto the beach. Mos Amida is an imposing figure. His chagrin skin is the blue-gray of troubled waters, failing to match the bright aquamarine of the ocean here in Volusia. And his long, horn-tipped tentacles give him the cut of something sharp and poisonous, which, Leia supposes, is not entirely inaccurate. There stands the man who was once Emperor Sheev Palpatine's chief administrator and has now become the proxy emperor, at least in name and in politics. He watches them from the beach. His gaze remains fixed upon them, in fact, even as the soldiers bind his hands behind him and help him step onto the sea speeder. The craft pivots in the water and flies toward the old pleasure liner, twin trails of sea spray cast in its wake.
Here we go, Leia says.
As they approach, she sees that the imposing figure is less so now. He looks old, weathered and worn. The tentacles topping his head seem wilted. His stare is hollow and, dare Leia say it, hopeless. The sea speeder slows to a halt below the deck of the pleasure liner. Leia and Mon step to the edge, looking down at him.
May I come up?
He asks. He offers a lifeless smile.
No,
Mon says.
You will speak to us from where you stand.
He wastes no time.
I offer myself to you as prisoner. I, Grand Vizier Mos Amida, head of the Imperial Ruling Council, turn myself in to Chancellor Mon Mothma and Princess Leia Organa of the New Republic. Take me away.
It's Leia's turn to say it.
No.
Tectonic shock crosses his face.
What?
We do not accept your surrender.
He turns suddenly toward the soldiers, panicked.
Will you kill me? Here and now? It's not in you. It's not like you. This isn't...
Mon calls down.
Calm yourself, Mos. We do not execute our prisoners, or those trying to be our prisoners.
We simply don't accept you as a prisoner.
Leia adds.
But...
He stammers.
I am the head of the Galactic Empire. I am its pinnacle. No target is greater than me. I am a prize.
You're a figurehead,
Mon says.
I know things. Names. Details. I can help you. I came all this way. I fled the throne world.
His voice booms, but the desperation in it is keenly felt.
I will not be denied my surrender. It is against the Galactic Accord of Systems established in the 50th year of...
The Empire has long ignored the Accord. It is considered obliterated thanks to your efforts. And the names and details you know are, I suspect, far less impressive these days than you'd have us believe, Mars.
Leia smiles.
But there is a deal to be struck here. If you're willing to make it, Grand Vizier.
Anything! Anything at all!
Sign a treaty of surrender.
He laughs at first. And then the laugh dies in his mouth.
You're serious? You want me to surrender? The entire Galactic Empire?
That's right.
I don't...
But again, he swallows the sound. Leia suspects what he was going to say, and she helps him finish his statement.
You don't have the power, do you?
I...
So get it back, and then bring a treaty to our door. That,
the Chancellor says,
is the only deal we will make, and the only deal that earns you a life beyond this existence. Anything less than that will be met with a charge of war crimes and a brutal trial to follow. If your own people don't jettison you from an airlock first.
How do I accomplish this?
Mon shrugs.
You're an administrator, so administrate.
Then, with a curt nod, the soldiers turn him back around, facing the island. The Sea Speeder's engines thrum to life, and it returns to the atoll. All the way, Mos Amita protests and pleads until his voice is swallowed by the sound of the sea. In the distance, they watch as they shove him off the speeder and onto the sand. They cut his bonds. He's left standing, gaping,
shocked. It was our only play,
Mon says.
I know. For a big fish, he's surprisingly little. Still, I worry we just made a terrible mistake. It could have been a coup. We could have spun it as a victory for the New Republic.
True. But you don't strike me as the type to want to spin anything. Unless war has changed you.
Leia sighs.
It is not. I'd rather play the long game and secure a real victory. Not a ceremonial one.
Good. Now let's get back to Chandrila. The war goes on.